Amen. It's good to be in the house of the Lord this evening. If you'll turn to Deuteronomy, or just joking, Exodus. Don't know why I said that. Exodus 18. We will look at Deuteronomy eventually. We'll be in Exodus 18 tonight. I feel right at home tonight. I think the last time I preached a few weeks back, the Quinteros were the first special, and Sarah was the second special, and I had tacos for dinner. And so tonight, the Quinteros were the first special, Sarah was the second special, and I had tacos for dinner. So I'm feeling right at home. Exodus chapter number 18 is where we're going to be tonight. It was funny, a week ago, Pastor saw me for the first time since he was gone, and he looked at me and he said, "Oh, you're cutting your hair like Brother Buddy now." And I was like, I always cut my hair like this. But the thing about Brother Buddy is he chose that hairstyle. This hairstyle chose me. So just thankful for that. Brother Buddy and I have shared an office for 6 years now, and I think we're slowly morphing into the same person. So we look similar. We have a lot of the same interests. We both like some of the same foods. We share some of the same sports teams, such as the Colts and the Hoosiers. And so I'm hoping that I'll be able to sing well here soon, and we'll see if that happens. But if I ever come out of the office and start cheering for the Cardinals, you have my permission to smack me in the face, okay? So I don't want to be that much like Brother Buddy. We don't want to be that much alike. Exodus chapter 18 tonight is where we're going to be. And we're going to consider the whole chapter tonight, but we'll just read verses 13 through 17 here. This is a passage that the Lord put on my heart as I was reading through my Bible this year. Exodus chapter number 18 would have reached that quite a few weeks ago, three or four. And something that I wanted to present tonight, and I know this is what the Lord has for us. So look at this tonight, beginning in verse number 13. It says this, "And it came to pass on the morrow that Moses sat to judge the people. And the people stood by Moses from morning unto the evening. And when Moses' father-in-law saw all that he did to the people, he said, What is this thing that thou doest to the people? Why sittest thou thyself alone, and all the people stand by thee from morning unto even? And Moses said unto his father-in-law, Because the people came unto me to inquire of God. When they have a matter, they come unto me, and I judge between one and another, and I do make them know the statutes of God and his laws. And Moses' father-in-law said unto him, The thing that thou doest is not good." We're going to look at this tonight and see a lesson on managing responsibilities. Let's pray. Father, we thank you so much for the opportunity we have tonight to be in your house, Lord. We thank you for everyone that made the decision to be here. Lord, I think about those that wanted to be here tonight for whatever reason could not and are maybe tuning in right now. I pray for all those under the sound of my voice tonight, they would just open their hearts to what you have, Lord, as you speak through me. I pray that you would just keep us from being distracted, but focused on your word and what you have for us. Lord, use me as an instrument in your hand. I've got nothing of myself to offer or to say, but Lord, I pray that you would just take what you've laid upon my heart, help me to present it clearly tonight, and Lord, I pray just help us to receive it, apply it to our lives, and draw closer to you from it. And we pray and ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. The thing that thou doest is not good. The situation where we find ourselves here as we are reading about Moses is he is sitting there all day long. He's judging matters between the people. He's doing what we all would agree with and consider to be a good thing, the right thing. And yet his father-in-law Jethro, after observing it for just one day, comes to the conclusion at the end of verse number 17 that Moses, what you're doing is not good. And more specifically, the way in which he was doing it is not good. And we'll explain some of that tonight, but Moses here is at the point in his life where he's overseen the 10 plagues in Egypt. He's led hundreds of thousands into millions of people out of Egypt and across the Red Sea. He's seen God provide water for them from a rock. He's seen manna from heaven, the 10 commandments, all of that. Moses is the leader that God has put in this position, and here he is. He's caring for, helping, providing, protecting, leading millions of people and such a responsibility, a heavy responsibility. One that we would look at and say, I would want no part of that, to be the person responsible for all of that. It took a special person. God knew that. God called Moses to do that in the first part of Exodus. And here he is. He's doing what God has called him to do, leading these people towards the promised land. So now we come to the point in chapter number 18 where his father-in-law comes to visit. We'll explain more about the reason for that visit. And as he's there visiting with him, he notices what he's doing and how he's judging the people, and he's helping them decide between right and wrong, and he wants them to know God's statutes and God's laws. He's explaining that to him. And as he's managing these responsibilities that God's given to him, we see the conclusion that his father-in-law came to, that it was not good. Now, as we sit here tonight, we may not be in the exact situation as Moses, but each of us have responsibilities in which God's given to us, and things for which we're responsible, and things for which we have the oversight of, or we have the leadership of in our lives. It's a part of every single one of us. It's different for each of us, but we all have those responsibilities, those things that we're to manage, that we're to oversee, that we're to be responsible for, and yes, even one day answer to God for. And that's where Moses is as well. But I think we find ourselves oftentimes in the same situation as Moses, as we're attempting to do the right thing, that it could be observed and said that the thing that you're doing is not good because of the way that we're doing, or the results and the fallout because of that. And so Moses here is in this situation, and we see Jethro's response here, and ultimately we'll look at what Moses does with it. But I want to consider just a few things tonight. First of all, I want to look at Moses' condition as we just read here in verse number 13 through 17 and then even into 18. Moses' condition is that he is incredibly committed to his responsibilities. I don't think anybody's going to argue with that when we look at Moses, that he is determined, that he is focused, that he is right on par with what God wants him to do. He's following right along and doing and managing and being committed to his responsibilities. I mean, you consider what's happened. We won't go back and read it, but just a few chapters before, they have chided with Moses. They have complained to Moses. These people even got to the point where they wanted to stone Moses, yet Moses was faithful and committed and responsible enough to continue to stand there and be a judge for them and help them to know God's laws and God's statutes. He was committed to this. I mean, they had questioned his leadership. If you guys remember, they thought, man, it'd be better if we just would have stayed in Egypt. In fact, let's go ahead and let's get us a new king, a new ruler to lead us back into Egypt. Or they would lust after the food and the things that they had there. This is what they're doing. And this is Moses. We see he's still responsible enough. He's committed to do what's right. And then as we see here in verses 5 and 6, he's committed to do what's right here as these people are treating him less than perfect and less than ideal. I think if we were in this situation as well, that we would not want to continue in it. These people are doing nothing but yelling at me. They're always mad. They're always upset. They're always complaining. They're always thinking about what it would be without me. This is a situation that Moses finds himself in, yet he's faithful to do it. And now we come to chapter 18 where his father-in-law and his family comes to visit. Now, he had not seen his family for years, his wife and his children. Look at verse number 5. It says, "And Jethro, Moses' father-in-law, came with his sons and his wife unto Moses." This is not Jethro's wife and children. This is Moses' wife and children. "They come unto Moses into the wilderness where he encamped at the Mount of God. And he said unto Moses, I, thy father-in-law Jethro, am come unto thee and thy wife and her two sons with her." So at some point, if you look back at verse number 2, you'll see this. It says that then Jethro, Moses' father-in-law, took Zipporah, Moses' wife, after he had sent her back. Now the Bible doesn't reveal this moment taking place, but at some point, Moses saw it necessary to take his wife Zipporah and their children and send them back to his father-in-law in Midian in Egypt as he is going now to stand before Pharaoh. So this would have been before the plagues and before the Pharaoh. Likely, I believe that he did this because he knew the incredible risk he was taking by standing before Pharaoh and demanding that God let the people go. So he did this as a tactical move, I believe, to try to protect those that were closest to him and those that he loved most. Not that he doubted God, but under some wisdom here, he sent them back to live with the father-in-law. But now they're out of Egypt. They're across the Red Sea. And the father-in-law hears what's happening and what's taking place. And he says, hey, let's bring the family back. It's time to reunite the family and put them back with Moses. And here he is. He's continually, faithfully standing there. Judging the people, even with his family, just now coming back into town. In verse number 14, we find it was take your father-in-law to work day. Because he's there and Jethro is watching everything he's doing. Now, I stop and think about if I would want my father-in-law following me around, watching everything I do. And the answer is no, absolutely not. I love Terry, but I love him from a distance. But I wouldn't want him watching my every move. But this is Moses. I mean, that's how incredibly committed he is to what he's doing, judging the people. He's there. He's doing it with his father-in-law by his side. His family just got back, and here he is still, morning to even, judging the people and helping them to understand right and wrong and the statutes and the laws that God had for them. There's no questioning Moses' heart, his desires, his work ethic, his commitment. None of that is being questioned here. But I believe that Moses didn't know his limits. He didn't know his limits. And I think it was important for him to know, and God reveals this through Jethro, that what he was doing was not sustainable. The pace in which he was keeping and the things which he was doing was not sustainable. Moses was trying to do it all. Moses was trying to be everything for everyone and doing all he could to help them, but he did not know his own limits. He was helping them know what to do in every situation, but what he was doing was not sustainable. Now, I think tonight that we have to recognize and come to grips with the fact that you cannot do it all. And you can't be everything for everyone. There's no one here tonight. If Moses couldn't do it, you can't do it. None of us are superhuman and can be absolutely everything that needs to be done for every person in every place. And yet here is Moses trying to do just that. And we have to make sure we don't put ourselves in a situation where we start to look around and think, well, I've got to be this because this person is that. And we begin to compare ourselves to one another or to what other people are doing. Now, I can't put a firm that a Pharaoh. If we grew up in this, was really real seeing that. Perhaps that was the way he did it. I don't know. But everyone is different. That we have to understand that tonight. God called Moses to be Moses and do it the way God wanted him to do it, not the way anyone else had done it. And we find ourselves in a dangerous position when we start to compare ourselves to one another. When we think, well, I've got to do this as a father because that person does that as a father. I have to do this as a staff member because that person does that as a staff member. I have to be this in this situation because that person is that in that situation. And we begin to compare ourselves, and the Bible says that's not wise. In fact, in 1 Corinthians chapter number 10, in verse 12, it says, for we dare not make ourselves of the number or compare ourselves with some that commend themselves, but they, measuring themselves by themselves and comparing themselves among themselves, are not wise. It's not a wise thing to do. In fact, he went on to say in verse number 14, Paul said this to the church at Corinth, for we stretch not ourselves beyond our measure. Paul even recognized that there was a limit, and it didn't matter the pace that other people were keeping. It was what God had for him, and he didn't want to stretch it beyond that limit, because when something is stretched beyond that limit, it's not what it's supposed to be. We grew up, when I was in second grade, we moved in with my grandparents, 2655 South Sheridan Avenue, right over here. It's how we originally ended up here at Lighthouse, and so living with my grandparents, there was four kids, and my parents, and then my grandparents was, you know, kind of tight. My parents were tight financially. That's why they moved in with my grandparents. And I loved my granny, and she took care of us and was very special to me and did a lot for us. But I lost a lot of trust in her one day when I caught her doing something. So there's four kids, and we're ages at that point 10 down to 4 or 3 or something like that. And I remember one day walking in and seeing my granny with a gallon of milk that was half full, and she put it under the water faucet, turned on the water, and watered down the milk. I love milk, and I was heartbroken Because I knew if you watered down milk, it wasn't what it was supposed to be. That you've just stretched milk beyond the point of what it's supposed to be stretched. Nobody likes skim milk, okay? That was worse than skim milk. I don't know what you would call that. I guess white water, I guess. But it was being stretched beyond its limits. And here's Moses, and I believe that his father-in-law wants them to see that he's being stretched beyond his limits. That's why he says in verse number 17 that what you're doing is not good. Now, we have to understand tonight that God has called me to be me. God has not called me to be anyone else. He wants me to be conformed to the image of his son. I was made in his likeness. I'm to follow his steps. And so I don't compare myself to anyone else. I want to make sure that I'm following what God has for me. And so he says to him that what he's doing is not good. It wasn't good for him physically. Look at verse number 18. It says this. He said in verse 17 at the end that the thing that thou doest is not good. Verse 18. Thou wilt surely wear away. He's looking at Moses. He doesn't even make one day, and he's telling him right now, I'm telling you this, it's going to put you in the grave. You want to keep this pace in doing this? It's a good thing. It's honorable. I'm glad you want to do it, but if you're going to keep this pace, I'm telling you right now, Moses, it's going to kill you. He says that you're going to wear away. Thou wilt surely wear away. Now, the word that's used here, translated from the Hebrew word nabal, and that means to wilt or to wither. And what happens here is that this Hebrew word is actually doubled for emphasis. So if you were to look at it in the Hebrew language, you would see that same word appear twice in a row. Because the author, under the leadership of the Holy Spirit of God, was using the emphasis to help him understand that wilting, you'll wilt, or withering away, you'll wither. This is what's happening if you continue this pace. Now, we understand tonight that things usually wilt or wither as life is being drained from them. That's what happens. A week and a half ago, it's Valentine's Day. Drop the kids off at school. I've got everything except for the flowers. Got to get the flowers for Valentine's Day. I head to Fresh Time because I wanted to throw in something extra, get the Albanese gummy bears. They're her favorite. They're better than Haribo. Don't at me. But anyways, they're good. I know she likes them. Well, I walk in and Fresh Time has flowers. I mean, it says fresh in the name. What did you expect, Aaron? But there's the flowers. And so I'm like, jackpot. I don't have to go anywhere else. I buy the flowers, give them to her on Valentine's Day. But you know what started to happen over the next couple days? I walk past those flowers in the kitchen, and I noticed that the color's not as vibrant as it once was, that the leaves started to droop and hang down, and then the rosebud starts bowing, and the petals on it start to shrivel up a little bit. You know what happened? The life was dying. I mean, those flowers were dying. It was being sucked from all of its life. And here's what he's trying to help him understand, that Moses, what you're doing, it's not good. If you keep this up, it's going to suck you dry. If you're going to wilt, you're going to wither, you're not going to be able to keep this pace. He's trying to help them understand that. And it's no secret the impact that stress and a lack of adequate rest can have on our bodies and on our minds. And this pace was literally going to kill him. And what he says there in verse number 18, he says, "Thou wilt surely wear away, both thou and this people that is with thee, for this is too heavy for thee. Thou art not able to perform it thyself alone." He said to Moses, it is too much. It's too heavy for you to bear alone. It's weighing on his heart, his mind, and his spirit. Because he's bearing too much. You ever been there before? Where you feel stressed out, maybe even at a breaking point, where everything's weighing down, where it's too heavy for you to continue at the pace and what you're keeping. I've been there before. I think back to the Christmas program this year, and it's always stressful because of the sound aspect, and I'm usually involved in the drama as well, and so there's a lot of that culminates together, and I love it, but it's also stressful. But on that Sunday afternoon, we're sitting in here and we're practicing the final time, and one of the mics, probably one of the most important mics, goes absolutely bonkers, haywire, crazy. It was unbelievable. I mean, I could not, I'm already stressing out because this is something we've worked so hard for leading up to it together. And that point had come and now something's happening and I can't figure it out. So I'm replacing mics, I'm replacing connectors, I'm doing all I can. And then finally, I ran to Pastor and I said, I need your body pack, which is the transmitter. And so he gave it to me, got it on, got it working, went up and had to switch everything. I'm in my garb up there switching everything on the board, trying to make sure it works the way it's supposed to for the Christmas program. I'm like sweating, bullets are dropping. We probably ruined some sliders up there because sweat is just dripping off and falling into the soundboard and all that's happening. And then I've got to make sure the live stream's running the way it's supposed to. And I'll tell you what, I wasn't the best spirit that night. And I actually had to go back the next night and apologize to some of the actors back there. I was probably a little snippy with you, a little short. I probably had a bad mood. I'm apologizing for that. But that was like a culmination of stress. I can't imagine dwelling there. And that's where some people live, where it's always at a point. It's always at a head. They're stressed out all the time. Listen, that's not the way God wants us to live. That's not how he wants us to manage our responsibilities, because that's not managing them at all. That's allowing them to manage us. And this is right where Moses is at. And the thing we have to know, and Moses needed to know this as well, is it doesn't just impact you. It impacts those around you. Look again at verse number 18. He says this, "Thou wilt surely wear away both thou and this people." He says, you're going to wilt, you're going to wither, but not just you, the people as well. It wasn't just you, Moses. This isn't going to burn just you out. It's going to burn them out as well. The people would wear away too. I don't know, perhaps it's because they were waiting so long to be heard. Maybe because they're being rushed. It could be because they were given wrong counsel. I don't know what it is, but it was something there. And how we manage our stress and our responsibilities will impact others. Maybe that's why they chided some with Moses. Maybe that's why they were complaining a little bit. I mean, I can't tell you exactly why. Maybe that's why they wanted to stone him. Maybe it was frustration was boiling over because of how he was managing his responsibilities to the point where not only was Moses going to wear away, but the people were as well. It impacts more than just ourselves. And perhaps it led to some of their frustrations. And Moses' own wife and children had gone to live with Jethro. And now Jethro had brought them back to live with Moses, which was the best thing to do. But this was going to impact them as well. You have to think about Jethro as a father-in-law. He's watching his daughter's husband manage these things and thinking, I just brought my daughter back to him. I just brought his children back to him. And I'm going to leave them here. He's not going to be able to keep this pace up. He's not managing these responsibilities. It's going to impact them. And if you were to turn back to Exodus in chapter number 4, we won't read it, but there was already a little bit of a rift between Zipporah and Moses over circumcising their son. And so that's already there. And now Jethro, like any father, is caring for his daughter and wisely saw how this would impact her if things didn't change. He probably likely saw what some of us do, intentional or not, where we've had a rough time, we've had a rough day, we walk through the door, and the first person we see is the first person we unload on, and it's our spouse. All that stress, everything that's been weighing us down, everything that's been wilting away at us and wearing away at us, unloads on them. And what Jethro wanted Moses to see is that not only are you going to wear away, but these people are going to wear away as well if something doesn't change. So let's look at Jethro's counsel in verse number 19. What does Jethro say? I think his message is clear here, and we'll look at this. But first of all is to learn to prioritize. He tells him in verse number 19, he says, "Hearken now unto my voice, I will give thee counsel, and God shall be with thee. Be thou for the people to Godward." He was helping them understand that your most important responsibility, Moses, is to God. You have all these other responsibilities and things to manage and things to watch over, but number one is God. You have to be to Godward. If you're going to be what you need to be for these people and be the responsible leader that they need, you have to be to God what you're supposed to be, and that's a relationship with God. The prioritize, and nothing is more important than that relationship with God. It takes time, it takes effort, but it's always well spent. And if we're going to be what we need to be for everything and everyone else, it all starts with our relationship with God. If my relationship with God isn't what it needs to be, how can I expect me to manage my other responsibilities if I can't manage the most important responsibility, my relationship with God? Matthew 6:33, but seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Oswald Sanders said this, it is impossible for a believer, no matter what his experience, to keep right with God if he will not take the trouble to spend time with God. Spend plenty of time with him, let other things go, but don't neglect him. Jethro says, Moses, you've got to be to Godward what these people need. He's speaking of that relationship between Moses and God that has to be right for everything else to be what it's supposed to be. We have to make sure that we prioritize, that we find our balance, because if not, we'll stress ourselves out no matter how good our intentions are. We have to have the right priorities. You're telling him to prioritize. The number one responsibility would be his relationship with God. Then his relationship with his wife and his children. And then his relationship with the children of Israel. And it's no different than that for you and I. My first responsibility is to my relationship with God. But after that's my relationship to my wife and then my children and then my ministry responsibilities here at Lighthouse Baptist Church. I have to make sure that we prioritize in my life the things that are most important and find the balance that God wants us to have. As Pastor even talked about on Sunday night, rest is a part of it. It's necessary. So he's trying to help him to learn to prioritize. But I think another key is this in verse number 20, in verse number 21, is prevent stress when possible. Look what he says to him in verse number 20. And thou shalt teach them ordinances and laws, and shalt show them the way wherein they must walk, and the work that they must do. Moreover, thou shalt provide out of all the people able men, such as fear God, men of truth, hating covetousness. We'll stop reading there. So he gives them two things to help him to prevent the stress that he's under at this moment. I mean, we read that they were there from morning until even. We're talking 12 to 14 hours, depending on daylight. They were there the entire time, standing in line and trying to talk to Moses. That wasn't sustainable. So Jethro says there's a way to help prevent some of this stress. And he gives Moses here a plan to do that. He wanted Moses to teach everyone the law. As you have opportunity to teach the law, to help them to understand what the law and the statutes are before they have to come to you. Now, as we read this, we find this in Exodus chapter number 18, which takes place before the recording of the Ten Commandments and the law that you would find later on in Exodus and then into Leviticus. But many people believe that chronologically, this actually took place after the law was given, which would make sense why they'd be coming to Moses, why he would be trying to help them to know the laws and the statutes. That's what he was trying to do in this situation. So Jethro's saying, hey, we can prevent some of this by telling him ahead of time what God says and what God wants. It's kind of like what a pastor does. Part of Pastor Tidd's counseling is preaching on Sunday morning, Sunday night, and Wednesday night to try to head off some of the counseling that has to take place in his office. I mean, that's what it is. And so he's trying to help Moses understand, hey, we can prevent some of this if we just make sure they know God's law and God's statutes and God's judgments ahead of time. And it helps to prevent some of this work. He wanted to know how to walk and how to work. And this certainly would crack down on the need for them to come to him with every little thing. I think if I'm transparent tonight and you would agree with me that we can prevent a lot of the stress that we face in our lives. We can. We just don't choose to. You know what it was like as a student, right? It's like third week of school. Teacher says, hey, 6 weeks from now, this project is due. Okay, write it down in the agenda. No problem. 6 weeks from now, project is due. Sounds great. I'm going to start early. 5.5 weeks pass. Hey, Mom, I have a project due in 2 days. I got to go to the library. We got to get books. That was back when you got your sources from a library instead of the internet. But, you know, I've got to get the books. We've got to get poster board. We've got to make pictures. We've got to gather plants. We've got to do all of this. And then all of a sudden, the whole house is in a tizzy, and everybody's all stirred up and wondering what's going on and all this stress. Why? Because we procrastinated. We didn't plan ahead. We didn't prevent some of the stress that could have been there. How many times do we do the same thing in our lives? That some of the stress that can be prevented just by some planning or by some thinking ahead would be prevented? He's trying to help him understand this in this situation to prevent the stress when possible. But also, don't be too proud to ask for help. As he says that in verse 21, look at this. It says, moreover, thou shalt provide out of all the people able men, such as fear God, men of truth, hating covetousness, and place such over them to be rulers of thousands, rulers of hundreds, rulers of fifties, and rulers of ten, and let them judge the people at all seasons. And it shall be that every great matter they shall bring unto thee, that every small matter they shall judge, so shall it be easier for thyself, and they shall bear the burden with thee. We don't have to do it all alone. We can ask for help. Jethro wanted Moses to use these trustworthy, these qualified men that were able, that feared God, that were truthful, that hated covetousness to help him to carry that burden, as it says there in verse number 22. We don't have to do it ourselves, but a lot of times we do because we feel bad asking for help or we're too prideful to ask for help, but that's not the way God's intended for us. And that's what Jethro sees here. Moses, you can manage this. You can manage the stress. You can prevent a lot of it if you'll get and solicit some help. That's what he's trying to help him see and trying to help him to realize in this situation. But our human nature is that we, for whatever reason, don't always like to ask for help. I love my wife. She is incredible at managing her responsibilities at home, and she does so much more than what I do. For our family, I feel like at times. But sometimes she'll ask for extra special help in a situation, and then she'll apologize and say, I feel sorry for asking. I'm like, you know, I don't want her to feel sorry for asking, but you know what? That's us in every situation where we try to take it on and manage it ourselves and try to force through and try to make it happen. But the ultimate thing, we have to understand that it's not good and that we can solicit help. We have to do what only we can do. That's what he's trying to help them understand, is that, hey, they can handle the small matters. The big matters come to you. You do what only you can do, Moses. We can't do it all, but we have to make sure that we can do and do the only things that God has for us to do, the most important things. I think about Pastor Tidd. The most important things for him as a pastor is to pray, preach, and counsel. I don't need to ask Pastor Tidd, what should we have for snack at Awana on Monday night? Pastor, I want to know what's the best gas station to get gas at for the bus. I mean, we're not going to do those things. We're not going to ask Pastor Tidd what's an acceptable price for Post-it notes on Amazon. I mean, those are things he can make those decisions, but we don't need to trouble him with that. He's got more important things to deal with, and it works that way in all of our lives. As we manage responsibilities, we have to understand that we have to take care of the most important things and do the things that only we can do. We'll finish with this, the conclusion, in verse number 23. It says this, if thou shalt do this thing, and God command thee so, then thou shalt be able to endure, and all this people shall go to their place in peace. He tells them in verse number 23, I love this. In verse 23, we can't miss this. He says, and God command thee so. Jethro says this, I've told you, I've given you some advice. And Jethro is a wise man that Moses had great respect for and reverence for. In fact, when Moses came to him in Exodus chapter number 3 or 4, after he had seen the burning bush and said, hey, God wants me to go back to Egypt and lead them out, he said, go thy way in peace. He had no problems with it. But he says to him this, make sure that it's God's will. So I'm giving you some counsel that's wise counsel, that appears to be the right counsel, but you better make sure it's God's will. Listen, as God brings people into our lives and they give us counsel, and it's godly counsel, and we even get counsel from God's word, the confirmation comes from God himself. It doesn't matter what someone else had said. It doesn't matter what I feel. It's what is God leading me to do. And so he tells Jethro, he says, go ahead and try this with God. Not in confidence of his way, but in confidence of his God. He says, go ahead and run this past him and make sure this is what he wants. And if it's his will, do it. And you know what? It was God's will and he did it. In Deuteronomy chapter number 1, we won't take time to read that, but that's where he began to select out the people that God would have for him. That's him recording it in Deuteronomy chapter number 1. But he did it. In verse number 24, it says that, so Moses hearkened to the voice of his father-in-law and did all that he had said. Help Moses to manage his responsibilities. So what was the result? Well, he said in verse number 23, if you do this, he says, thou shalt be able to endure, and all his people shall go to their place in peace. One of the last things we have recorded about Moses is found in Deuteronomy chapter number 34, verse 7, when God takes him up into the mountain, lets him see the promised land, is going to take his life. Listen to what it says about him in verse 7. And Moses was 120 years old when he died. His eye was not dim, nor his natural force abated. 120 years old. He had led the children of Israel now and been a part of their lives for 80 years, and God said, his eye's not even dim. His natural force isn't even abated. Jethro was right. He managed his responsibilities. He managed his stress, and as a result, God strengthened him and helped him to endure until his time on earth was over. And then, of course, the peace with the people. Everything was made better for it. His wife, his kids would stay with Jethro after he departs. He would have the help in managing the people, and ultimately there'd be peace for all. We have to know tonight that we can't do it all. I can't. Everything I want to do, I can't do it all. I have to know my limits, and don't be afraid to ask for help and follow wise counsel. Prevent the stress that can be prevented. Because if we don't manage our stress and our responsibilities, it will manage us. And as he said in verse number 17, that's not good. So with God's help, may we manage our responsibilities with the example of Jethro to Moses. I'd like to have every head bowed tonight, every eye closed. Thank you for your listening tonight. How are you managing your responsibilities tonight? How's your stress in managing these responsibilities? I think sometimes we just need to realize we can't be everything for everyone and prioritize the most important things. I don't know how God might have spoken to your heart tonight, but I know this is what God had for us. Father, we thank you for this day. We thank you for the opportunity to be in your house tonight. Lord, thank you for the example of Jethro and Moses here. And Lord, I pray that you'd help us to manage our responsibilities, Lord. And as you've spoken to our hearts, may we respond now during this time of invitation. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.